Hello, Professor Ferris.
Hi, how are you?
Brazil spent 10 billion euro on hosting the World Cup. There were huge protests in 2013 and before the Cup. And here in Europe, the media was almost sure that they will continue during the Cup. But it became quiet once it started. Was the Brazilian passion for football stronger than their anger?
Yeah, I think there's the whole perception, I mean, foreign perception on the development of events here is kind of distorted. And part of this distortion was due to the way the Brazilian media portray the whole thing. So because, you know, in your question, you already connect the protest that we had in June 2013 with the World Cup. And you also portrayed it as if the protests had continued from June 2013 all the way up to the World Cup. And both things are not correct. So I studied the protest. I'm still studying it. Not only the protest itself, but, you know, the media coverage. And, I mean, if you see what happened in June last year, you know, was something very circumscribed to that month. So in July, you didn't have protests the way you had in June. And the small protests that you had in July were of a different nature. And also, the protest we had in June, the World Cup was not the main theme of the protest. So the way you portray it is that as if the World Cup was the main cause and the main demand or the main problem that protesters, you know, rallied against. And that's not the case.
So we as the media overestimated the connection between the protests and the World Cup.
Definitely, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't think that the Brazilian media overestimated that connection, but they did play protests in a way, and the World Cup, the way they covered both things was in a way to induce people to think that the World Cup would be a big failure and that protest was in a way part of a whole, you know, how do you say that, Weltanschauung in German, or, you know, a whole zeitgeist, you know, like the whole climate of the, you know, was conducive to some sort of a crisis that was at the same time political, social, and the World Cup was part of it.
And you wrote an article on this in a German newspaper. And what I found interesting, because the reception is also different on this point, we thought that a majority of the Brazilians were protesting, but you wrote that it was mostly middle class Brazilians.
Look, Brazil has 200 million people now. The number of people who went to the streets at the peak of the streets protest that was in like 20th or 18th June 2013 was like 1 million people. So you have like not even 1% of the population if you add all the protests in June. And if you examine the surveys that were conducted during these protests, mostly on, you know, with protesters in the big cities of Rio and São Paulo, you see that the profile of these guys were mostly middle class and high, you know, and educated. So their education and income on average is much higher than the average income and education of the Brazilian population. So the people who were there were, you know, more to the middle class. Yes, that's a fact.
So, but then why didn't the poorer parts of society and the workers participate the protests?
Why they didn't?
Yeah, why they didn't?
Well, that's a good question, because you have to understand that this protest wave started, you know, with a small protest organized by a movement for free transportation in São Paulo. Okay. So these guys organized a protest that attracted around 2,000 people. And the protest was, the rally was, you know, severely, brutally repressed by state police. So they organized another rally 2 days after that. And again, they had a lot of police repression. And actually, the police repression and the word that got around through social media about these protests started attracting more people to them. And then these rallies, you know, and the movement kept on organizing protests day after day. And these, you know, the number of people accruing to them kept on climbing, going up. So what you had, it was, you know, a phenomenon in which a lot of people who were not at all related to the original social movement the movement for, you know, free pass, free transportation. And a lot of middle class people who use the social media and who are, you know, more prone to actually have access to traditional media were the ones attracted by this kind of, you know, protest. So the workers who, you know, usually protest through more traditional social movements, like, you know, unions or social movements with, you know, particular themes that are related to work, were not there. The people who were there were mostly young people who actually are on Facebook, Twitter, and also have free time to go to these things, because most of them actually happen during working hours. So, you know, who were basically, you know, anti-system, you know, autonomists. That's why that's the nature of this protest came a lot, like, you know. And it, as a matter of fact, it, if you see what they were protesting against in the end, it was not anymore about free transportation. So this demand was actually met because, you know, the hike in transportation fees was canceled by the municipal authorities after a couple of days of protest. But the rallies continued on growing. But the original movement that was, you know, the first movement that organized protests, the free transportation movement, they actually, after they got, you know, the reversal of the hike, they got out of the rallies, of the organization. So what rested there, you know, the thing that remained was just a bunch of people that were unorganized. And that kind of protest, you know, lasted for 2 or 3 days. And then it went away. What you had was a spontaneous, you know, accruement of people to this original protest that was organized by a social movement. But after the social movement retreated, they could not kept on organizing because they had no organization.
But some of the points the protesters were protesting against, for example, the healthcare and the education system as it is now, haven't changed since. Do you think after the World Cup is over, the money is spent, people go home, tourists go home, will they return the protests?
I don't think so. Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about here. What kind of protest you're talking? You're talking about this demand for health services and education services during the peak of protests in June 2013, or are you talking about the protests that happened after that?
At this point, I think I talk about the protests right before the World Cup started, when again people were cheering that the billions that were spent on the World Cup could have been gone into a healthcare system.
But Alex, the number of people who protested before the World Cup was ridiculous. You had very small protests, none that is noticeable. I mean, you don't have a wave of protest before the World Cup. That's a misportrayal of what happened. So before the World Cup, you had, you know, small groups of people protesting here and there. And sometimes the media gives it a lot of, you know, currents, a lot of coverage. But really, I mean, if you see, it was ridiculous. I was watching one of the television channels. There was very much politicized, and they were, you know, like flying by helicopter over the protest that paralyzed one thoroughway in a major avenue in São Paulo. And you had like 200 people there.
At this point, let's come for a final question back to the World Cup, because you mentioned it's over now. I read some studies about the World Cup 4 years ago in South Africa, and a majority of people in South Africa now say that the World Cup had none or even a negative impact on their lives. Do you think that Brazilians will think about this World Cup the same way in a couple of years?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the people who actually go to the soccer stadiums will enjoy the new soccer stadiums, because in Brazil, I mean, we built new ones and we had to renovate many of them that were not in good shape. So I think that, you know, that's a plus for soccer in Brazil. And $10 billion in Brazil is not a lot of money. If you see the size of the Brazilian GDP or the, you know, government budget, or even the budget for education and health in Brazil, public education and health, this makes no difference at all. So this amount of money could not be used to solve the problem of Brazilian health or education, as some people have suggested, actually, because it makes no difference. So, you know, of course that can be played as a political argument against the World Cup or against government, although, you know, this argument is used against the federal government, and most of the money that went to the World Cup or to renovate the stadiums and in works and infrastructure was actually invested by municipal and state, you know, governments, not by the federal government. So, you know, there is a lot of, I think, distortion going on in this kind of argument. But even then, I don't think that, you know, if you see the amount of that money that was spent, that wouldn't make much of a difference. So in reality, no. But of course, that people can always use it. I don't think that that's going to play a big role in the elections.
That would be my real final question. The elections will be held in October. You don't think it will be an issue?
I don't think so. You know, it could have been if the World Cup were a disaster, yes. But since the World Cup organization was very successful and everybody seemed to be happy with it, it has become a very tricky subject matter to use in political terms to attack your opponents. Of course, that you cannot blame the incumbent, Dilma, for the failure of the Brazilian team in the semifinal against Germany. It would be fool to do that, right? You have to be stupid to blame her for, you know, like the team, bad performance. And then the organization of the Cup went okay. So what can you blame her for to say that, you know, oh, the stadium, you spent a lot of money with that? Of course, she can always say, but it wasn't the federal government that spent the money. And it's true. You know, I don't know how it can be used. And also, you know, to say that Brazil should not renew its arenas, its stadiums, it's kind of a tricky argument to make. Because people, you know, also like soccer and they enjoy having a good arena to go to.
Professor João Ferraz Jr., thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me, Alex.